God, we ask that you'll give to us the gift of faith through your word, through the sacrament, by your Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is so clear in what he says in the gospel today, recorded by Mark. So extremely clear. There is just no denying that the way of Christ is identifying also with him in suffering and pain. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, said he was like one from whom people hid their faces and we esteemed him not. And yet he was stricken for us. By his wounds we are healed. And so this Jesus, now in glory and will return in glory, is calling us to follow after him, to bear our cross, this vehicle of salvation for all humanity, I would say for all creation. And in so doing, we're transformed. You know, it's not like a mathematical equation that you figure out, that you work out. Math is not my strong subject, that's for sure. And I was always surprised when the two sides of the equation, like, balanced. I'd say, wow, that was lucky. But it's not like that. I promise you, it's not like that. But in stepping out in faith, like Abraham and Sarah did, we're transformed. And it's that life of transformation that is called discipleship. It's always living in the now, but the not yet. We long for more, and yet we give thanks for what we have. It's this tension in life, and yet joy too. It's this peace that surpasses all understanding, sometimes in the very midst of difficulty. Jesus spent a lot of time with his disciples. And so earlier in Mark's gospel, he was with them and did some things that I would think should have informed more fully this moment. And yet I extend grace to the disciples. I do not sit in judgment of them very clearly. I don't. But Jesus had shown what Abraham and Sarah were talking about. At the age of 99, God allows them, enables them to have a son and to fulfill God's promises to them that kings would come from their ancestors, that they would be many nations, that they would be like, so numerous as sand on the seashore. It's encouraging to me that Abram is responding to God's call at age 99. May it be so with each of us, that we would be responding, anticipating God's activity in our lives, in our world, until we draw our last breath. And so partake in this transformation continually. The Holy Spirit emboldening us, remaking us, refaithing us continually, daily. Jesus was with the disciples and teaching crowds, and as you've heard before, quite likely, it grew dark and the crowds were hungry. And Jesus turns to the disciples after they turn to him and say, hey, what's next? And he said, how can we satisfy these people here in the wilderness? What can we do? Jesus had compassion on the multitude, just as Jesus has compassion on the communities in which we live and move and have our being, the community that surrounds this physical building, the church. And God desires to satisfy us and them. You know, the disciples rarely kind of put it together and said, well, you did this before, you fed 5,000, so, you know, let's just get on board here. No, they need to be retaught that, and I think that's the same with me. God having such grace and mercy in reteaching me of God's faithfulness to God's promises. And so on this Vestry Sunday, for those of you who aren't aware of that, it's our annual general meeting. It's our annual vestry meeting. The vestry is the people of God in this place. It's so good, so important to remember those times when God has provided for us against all odds. He who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. I had the great joy last week. I was at a diocesan meeting and meeting with clergy colleagues, and someone said, "We don't have a lot of time, but could we just go around? Does anyone have any good news to share?" And I said, "Yeah, I do. I got the best news." He said, "Well, yeah, go ahead." I said, "Well, a guy in our church died before Christmas, and I'm so thankful that he showed up at parish council last Tuesday." And of course, there were looks. But Dennis Nkodjo died on the Portman Bridge and was revived and restored and came to parish council last Tuesday night. God works in ways that are completely beyond us. And those who say, "Boy, was he lucky," I cringe. And I just say, no. No, he was not lucky. God provided in ways that are beyond our imagining. God met Dennis and his family in that moment, those moments. And so Jesus said to the disciples, "How many loaves do you have? What are your resources? Let me know what you have." And they didn't take long to count because they said, "Seven. We got seven loaves. And we got a few fish." They didn't number them, but there were a few fish. And I wonder what God's asking us. We have this incredible resource, primarily us, it's people. We also have these buildings and grounds. We have a budget and money that comes in through donations, through rentals, through other ways, and we try to manage that well. There's a lot of resource here, and Jesus, I believe, is asking us on this vestry day, what do you have? Because I have compassion on the multitudes, so what do you have? And he commanded everyone to sit down, and he took those seven loaves, and he did what we now pattern the Eucharistic service after. He took the loaves, he gave thanks, he broke them, and he gave them. Not to the people, and that's where we come in. Notice that he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. They're the ones who brought the bread and the fish and distributed them. And so God is wanting to, I believe, also involve us in the miracle. The miracle of provision for our community, for those who come seeking. It's Jesus who blesses. It's we who give it over and say joyfully, I give over these resources that I have, that our household generates, that my time and talents have enabled me to offer. I give them, and God, may you bless them. And that's, I think, a big part of what Vestry is about. It's a day on which we acknowledge the year past and God's provision, God's people's faithfulness, ministries that have been fulfilled, extended, changed, renewed, hopefully, and then looking ahead in faith to say, God, here are these resources. Here we are. What is your will? And so we've been meeting in cottage meetings to try to discern our deep joy here at St. Cuthbert and where that might connect with our world's great need. We're in a process of clarifying our vision, and that being God's vision for us, our best understanding of that, and then ordering all things in light of that. Just before this, Peter rises to the occasion and says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Flesh and blood had not revealed that to Peter. It was the Spirit who revealed that to Peter. And then we come to this moment when, you know, everyone sees Jesus sort of climbing up the pop charts. He is very popular. And look at the crowds. Just look at the crowds around him. And then Jesus began to speak to his disciples about his future, about his mission, very plainly. His mission to come to die, and to rise again. And you wonder this distinction between human things and divine things. You wonder if it if Mark is framing this around those sort of two operatives. Because at one point Jesus said, when he rebukes Peter very, very strongly, he said, "You are setting your mind." And this idea of setting your mind, not on divine things, but on human things. And I think this is such a key piece of our discernment corporately at St. Cuthbert. We acknowledge that it's often a mixture of human and divine, and we try to get it right, and God in his mercy moves the project forward. He would be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes. He would undergo great suffering. Here are the human things. And then the divine things. After 3 days, he would rise again. God cutting through all of that. And Peter wondering, what? How could this be? And Jesus seeing this critique as very, very important to address immediately. Get behind me, Satan. For you're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. And so this setting of the mind, what do we set our minds on? It's about focus, yes. It's about our attention, what holds our attention. But it's also on the things we savor. What do you savor in your life? Savor. You come in to a room where there's a meal cooking that you're anticipating enjoying, and you just sort of registers. It's a total body experience. What do you savor? What are the things that you savor in your thoughts that you kind of are your go-tos? Are they the things of God or are they human things? And if they're a mixture, we acknowledge that and say, God, increase my faith. Draw me closer. And yet, it seems to me that this is where Jesus focuses. This setting of the mind. And perhaps today could be a turning point for me and for you and for us as a corporate body. This setting of the mind. Thankfully, we can redirect by the power of the Holy Spirit what we're striving for, what we're interested in. May we be about God's purposes in and through this place, and let's commit to one another to work it out in love. We're not going to always get it right, that's for sure, but I'm committed to be among you, trying to discern this with you. These great resources, to see Jesus take them and bless them and break them and then give them back to us that we could then distribute them to all in need. Not on divine things, but on human things. If any want to become my followers, Jesus said, let them deny themselves. And we deny ourselves, as I understand it, when we surrender ourselves to determine to obey his will. It's a very conscious act. It's an act of our will. To take up their cross, and I believe that's the same thing, denying self, taking up the cross, and follow Jesus. Yes, it means death, and that's the whole picture of baptism. But you don't lose a seed when you plant it. You don't lose all the green growing plants when the snow covers it. No, there's hope. Though it seems dead and buried, instead you set that seed free when you bury it to be what it was always intended to be. And so too with God. And then he goes into this, for those who want to save their life will lose it. And I wonder if that's not a play on these human things and the divine things. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, these divine things, will save it, will enjoy that deep satisfaction. I wonder if that's what he's saying. Jesus calls us. Jesus hopefully can point, and we can point, to situations in our lives where it was only God that could have done that, that God has provided for us. God in his goodness and mercy. And then we embrace that and look forward. And by God's, again, grace and mercy, we don't set our minds on simply the human things, but on God's purposes for us and through us to the world. What if we could pray? God, some things we just need to leave right now. They're just bad. They're bad for us. They do our families no good. I pray you would strengthen our wills to just reject those things, to leave them behind. And Lord, there are those divine things that I believe you want to reveal to us. And particularly on this vestry day, God, may you reveal your purposes for us and through us to this world that you love, that you have compassion on. Lord, our youth and children, Lord, our elders, Lord, our gaps in our community, young married folk, young families, desiring that all might find a place here, a safe place to grow together. So show us the way today, Lord. Thank you for faith. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.